Yes, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant, speaking to you clearly.
Woo!
With Keith Kennedy,
woo!
Who's also going to speak to you clearly. I'm not saying that we're enunciating well. I'm saying in the first few episodes of the show, this is going back to June or July, the podcast is always recorded, as you may or may not know, and it's available at CITR.ca, or you can find it on iTunes. For a long time, it's been a little bit muddled, and that was out of our control. But now, it seems that that's been resolved, and that's nice, because now we can rest assured we're speaking with clarity.
Yeah, I was actually altering the way that I was approaching
you
the
were,
mic.
Eh?
Yeah, because I would hear it in
and
the
you
recordings.
Didn't complain about it, but when I told you about this today, you said, okay, good.
Yeah, well, because as we talked about before, it felt like there was nothing we could do to resolve it, so I kind of just accepted it.
Yeah, it was out of our hands. It feels like if we're going to make the effort to speak with clarity as far as our vocabulary and, you know, having thoughts that are clear and taking our time to formulate sentences, then why not have the actual sonic quality of that represent
maybe
that?
Maybe we hadn't earned it.
Maybe we hadn't.
We weren't as clear as we
thought. Maybe we were downvoted by karma.
Like those guys, I don't think their thoughts are clear.
Yeah.
Hell with it.
Well, this is the beginning of series 3 of Now We're Talking, and if you're a regular listener, you'll know that means that it's episode 21. We do 10 episodes at a time. We hope to get renewed, and so far we're 2 for 2 in terms of renewal,
yep. And
this is the beginning of our third series. And, one thing we really encourage with the show moving forward is we want a lot of people to start calling in. To prove that people listen to this station. You know, there's a lot of things. I've wondered whether there's different mechanisms for me to assess that there genuinely is a listenership, not just for this show, but for the station. And really, you know, Keith, I came in here the other night. I was working on something, and from midnight to 2, I hosted what I referred to as the Late, Late, Late Show.
Mm-hmm.
Freestyled that at the time. And, you know, I was very persuasive, I think, in encouraging people to call. So much so that a person called. And I think the secret is, Keith, that we need to talk to the person that is listening directly to them and have them call. So anyway, the number is 604-UBC-CITR, 604-822-2487. If that's enough for you to call, just do it, because we want to talk to you. We've got stuff we want to talk about, and we'd like to get your input. But actually, Keith, I didn't tell you about this, but I hope this doesn't... I was actually conscious of the fact that this might, I don't know, that you might be envious of this thing that's occurred for me this week, but I'm published now as an author.
Oh.
Yes. And again, for context, in case you haven't been listening to the show for all 21 episodes now, Keith is an author. He's written in all sorts of formats and genres, and there's been versions of being published, but not this version, which is an audiobook, which was actually published by Schuster and Schuster of New York.
Oh.
And I mean, I know it's only a 1-hour show, but maybe you won't be envious. I don't know. You seem actually like you're taking this pretty well. How about I just play it for you? It's like full immersion.
Sure.
And we don't need to like pretend it's not a thing, and just see how you feel about it after.
Okay.
Life is Simple, a novel by Jeff Bryant, published by Schuster & Schuster of New York. Voiced by Jeff Bryant. Chapter 1. Life is simple. All you need to do is follow these 3 simple rules. Rule number 1, always show up on time. Rule number 2, never be afraid of good advice. And rule number 3, go fuck yourself. The end. This has been Life is Simple by Jeff Bryant, published by Schuster & Schuster, New York City. So that's something that happened for me this week, and it's not lengthy, which I'm not sure what the implications are in terms of royalty, but I'll tell you what, it's easier to write something that's shorter. So the payoff might be less. I hope that it's not less in terms of credibility, but I'll start by asking you this, Keith. I was looking at you, and when it was published by Schuster & Schuster,
yeah.
And I looked at you, and I saw you kind of repeat Schuster & Schuster inquisitively. is what's... Is
I thought you said Wayne and Schuster.
Yeah, no, it's not Wayne and Schuster. And I looked this up and I realized that there is a Wayne and Schuster.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Schuster and Schuster?
Yes, I have.
Oh, it is a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, unless it sounds very much like a real thing.
It sounds like a real thing, right?
Maybe it's not.
Well, okay, I'll be honest. Full disclosure, I actually created that audiobook and I improvised that audiobook. And I just said Schuster and Schuster because that sounded like something without actually knowing whether that's an actual publishing house.
Then
I looked it up and I saw, subconsciously, I was aware of Wayne and Schuster, and I just made up Schuster and Schuster.
There's something Schuster in the publishing industry. There is.
Yeah.
I still remember what it is.
Okay, so let's say that. Let's say that there's a famous Wayne and Schuster publication company, and maybe his twin daughters started an audiobook offshoot.
Wayne and Schuster is a comedy duo, Canadian comedy duo.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's not real. I don't think it's real.
Man, it's funny because I smelled it coming like at the last second. You know that thing that happens?
What do you mean the last second? You actually thought maybe I was published?
No, I mean like the joke.
Oh, the joke. What the nature of the joke was?
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes it's like, it happens when you're watching a movie sometimes where you're if it's like a detective type story or a mystery, or something comedic, you just see what's coming right before. And so you feel like it doesn't ruin it for you because it's just a second. And you feel like you're in on it.
Yeah.
And that makes it even more funny.
Yeah.
Or more poignant.
Yeah, it's actually interesting for me to listen to the audiobook because for me, as I mentioned before, I was in here late at night a few nights ago when I hosted the late show. There's a lot of lates.
How many lates?
Well, I think there was three
lates?
But it was pretty late, so it's hard to know. But anyway, I just turned on that music and I thought, that sounds like... I haven't listened to a lot of audiobooks. I know you have.
That would go in there.
But it seems like that's kind of the music when the person introduced. So I just improvised it, and I didn't know what it was going to be. But I think, again, I think sometimes when you improvise, whatever's happening for you unconsciously manifests. So apparently I'm feeling like life is simple. And I'm feeling like you can go fuck yourself as well. But I think maybe you sensed it coming because it's the rule of threes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three times funny.
Yeah. That's the
although there was only one joke.
The first
so I don't
two
know how
were
that works.
Serious, but the third one had to not be. Yeah.
So there was a rhythm to that.
Yeah. Plus the first two pieces of advice were quite good. So the third one had to be really good. And it was. I am envious now. I wish I had written that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Although I guess technically it's not a novel, is it? It's more like a self-help.
Yeah.
Nonfiction.
It's probably about 50,000 words, 59,000 words short of being a novel.
Yeah.
But there's lots of different kinds of formats. There's lots of...
It could be like
It's a novelette, almost.
It could be like a petite novellita.
Yeah. Oh.
Or something.
French and Spanish?
Yeah. Fused together. folks, what are your thoughts? I mean, did you feel like it was possible that was actually a thing when you heard it? Did you know that I was being... jocular. Give us a call at 604-822-2487. Maybe you listen to audiobooks. And Keith, I mentioned before, we need to appeal directly to the listener. This is there's been times when you and I have hosted this show, we've hosted some fill-in shows, and we've certainly had callers. And I think, looking back, it's usually when we get specific. So you. We're talking to you. Keith, talk to this guy.
Hey.
And I say this guy, but you might be a girl too. I don't know.
Hey.
No, it's a guy. It is a guy.
Well.
Or maybe it's a girl.
Maybe.
Okay, talk to him.
I'd like to think that when we do that, when you talk directly to the listener, that they do that thing that's totally hilarious where you point to yourself and you look over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like you're not sure if it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over your shoulder at your rear left speaker in the car.
As if maybe we're talking to the person behind you. We're not.
Listen, we don't know your gender, but we know you're listening to this right now. We know you're driving. We know you've been flipping through your presets, okay? You didn't want to listen to your presets for some reason. You've been hitting the scan button, and now you're listening to us talk. Well, I'm telling you to give us a call at 604-UBC, CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Pull over, put on your Bluetooth, do whatever it is you need to do. Give us a call. We want to find out, why are you listening? Why are you doing what you're told so easily? Why are you calling us?
How have you become so obedient?
Yes.
Will your mother be proud of this?
Yes. If you're just tuning in, folks, the show is called Now We're Talking. The station is CITR 101.9 FM. And the topic today is cell phones and when they ring in the studio. Seamless.
Yes, if you have anything to say about that. Call us on your cell phone. Huh?
No, the topic is obedience and why do people not do what they're told? Give us a call at 604-822-2487. You can try texting us as well, but it won't work because it's a landline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, just pop in the Bluetooth and just give us a call. Keith, do you want to hear the audiobook one more time now that it's sunk in a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Life is Simple, a novel by Jeff Bryant, published by Schuster & Schuster of New York. Voiced by Jeff Bryant. Chapter 1. Life is simple. All you need to do is follow these three simple rules. Rule number 1. Always show up on time. Rule number 2. Never be afraid of good advice. And rule number 3. Go fuck yourself. The end. This has been Life is Simple by Jeff Bryant, published by Schuster & Schuster, New York City. Yeah, Schuster & Schuster. I was actually, when we played it the last time, and I was kind of prompting you, I assumed, you being the literary guy that you are, that you were going to question its legitimacy, but it was so, it sounded so familiar to you.
It was authoritative.
Do you think you've ever submitted to any Schusters?
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I submitted to Wayne and Schuster, but they're already, I think
so Wayne
dead.
And Schuster were a famous Canadian comedy duo.
Yeah, I grew up on those guys.
Where are they from? Are they from out east?
I think they're Canadian. They were definitely on the CBC.
It sounds familiar. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, they were like our version of the two Ronnies, because those guys were British, I think. Or maybe they were Canadian. Oh, boy.
Until the late 80s. So their era was the 40s until the late 80s.
They used to do parodies, I remember, like of movies and historical parodies that were very different than everything else I was watching.
Well, how come they won't publish my audiobooks?
I don't know, man.
Too short.
Jerks.
They want the premises to be fleshed out.
They're
maybe
probably envious of how easy it was.
Well, I'm glad that it didn't cause any contention because when I completed the work and listened to it a few times afterwards and anticipated sharing it on the show today, I thought, what if this causes Keith to feel jealous that I have achieved this before he has? Although, have you really voiced any audiobooks?
No.
No, you haven't?
No.
What do you think about, you know, the different methods for being published as a conventional route? And what about just taking it to the people? You listen to audiobooks now. As somebody who has been a heavy reader, by far, that's your method of ingesting literature now.
Yeah.
So what do you think about taking all of the words you've written and, you know, taking maybe one of those projects, one of the books, voicing it or a portion of it, and trying to entice them through a different method of ingesting your literature? No?
I have no idea how that would work.
What we could do is just moving forward with the show, or not even the show. Now that I think about it, 1 hour is kind of limited. You and I could come in here at 2 a.m. when there's nobody here, 5 days a week, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. So that's, we'll come 5 days a week. That's 20 hours a week. And we'll just plow through your books, man. We'll just read your books on the air.
It's funny you mentioned that because I don't even know what I didn't even bother looking up the copyright stuff. Copyright law in terms of having, like if I put something on my blog, I can't sell it. Like its first publication's already happened. So as for reading on things on the radio, like I'm not sure. That story I read for Halloween, I never sold that story. So a lot of the things that I say or do will be things that have previously been sold. So I can just say the name of who bought it, where you can get it, and then it's okay for me to, the rights revert back to me. But that, like that story I read on the air, I've never sold that. I don't know if I can now.
Well, as long as we don't discuss it anymore, and
keep it isolated to one episode.
Well, yeah, as long as we don't discuss it as we just did on this show, which will be a podcast, I'm thinking if we come in between 2 and 6 in the morning and it's not a podcast, it's just going to fly through the air. Somebody will hear it.
It's like a Snapchat.
Hopefully it's not a publisher who says, I got to sign this kid, but he's, you know, spewing all this gold off the airwaves. Somebody shut him up.
Mm-hmm. The problem with long form is that I don't think it's going to draw anyone in for me to read, you know, a half an hour of my giant fantasy epic.
Okay, as somebody who has listened to a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
And as somebody who's written books of varying lengths, mm-hmm. but I know that when you write in the fantasy genre, it's longer than some other genres.
Oh yeah, it's the longest.
It's the longest. So if we took one of your fantasy novels and voiced it, from experience having listened to people voicing books, mm-hmm. how many hours would you approximate is the length of these works?
You're looking at probably 20 to 30. No, that's more than that. Probably 30 to 40.
30 to 40 hours. Okay. Yeah. So as I say, if we did the overnight thing when it's guaranteed nobody's listening, mm-hmm. then we could plow through it in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Or we could just, at this point, this could be the beginning of something new. We just read about 45 minutes per show, mm-hmm. give people some context, tell them what they missed last week, and do that for the next two-thirds of a year.
Yeah, 6-8 months.
And then we'll be like, and the mm-hmm. end.
Chapter 7,
the end.
Steve's sword is a good sword.
But when it's over, after weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, we'll say, give us a call, 604-UBC-CITR. What'd you think of the book?
Mm-hmm. And then we'll finally get calls.
Or we'll just sit there in complete silence,
yeah,
in silent protest. Until somebody mm-hmm. calls that show or any other show, yeah, in the future.
Well, actually, the people out there are lucky because I think that our personalities align in one particular way, which is a desire to get what we want. And it has undoubtedly occurred to both Jeff and I while we're on the air to just remain silent until you call.
Yeah, exactly.
Force it to happen.
That's what I'm saying. We'll finish reading it. Let's say there's 10 minutes left in that show. We'll be like, give us a call. Here's the number. We'll just do mm-hmm. that for 10 minutes. And then every episode moving forward, we'll just come and be like, okay, so yeah, we're ready for the feedback for the book that we read for the last 5 months. Give us a call. And we'll just do that until somebody calls.
I don't think this is a good plan.
Yeah, maybe not. So, but what do you think? Is, aside from all of that nonsense and tomfoolery, is there any value in taking anything you've written and voicing it so that somebody who wants to know what you've written can listen to it on their way to work?
I have no idea. I've never looked into it at all.
Well, let's think about this. Maybe not figure it out. That might be a little bit ambitious. But I'm just thinking, if you... See, it would be a different conversation if it was a couple of years ago and you're like, audiobooks, I guess that's a thing. But now that that's basically... Like, what is the ratio between you reading a book versus listening to a book these days?
A lot.
Yeah. It's like 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or something.
Yeah.
So if you, who's devoted your life to literature, if that's... Well, why is it? Why do you prefer to listen to a book rather than read it?
Because I can do it while I'm exercising.
So don't you think that's probably true of most people out there?
Not fatties. Sorry, fatties.
But is it relevant to draw that connection between how you yourself as a consumer have elected to consume mm-hmm. literature versus your... demographic?
Yeah,
for your
I just
work.
Don't know. I mean, in terms of self-publishing, what you're talking about is sort of self-publishing in a different medium, and I don't know much about that because I don't pursue it. So I think, I mean, having someone listen to my book is the same way I'd have them print it. They'd own the rights, and then they'd, you know, sell it that way. So I don't know if there's a way to skirt that. Like, in all honesty, I don't know if you can do that in any fashion, or if anyone has even tried to do that. I have a tendency to follow the typical paths. Because I can actually get knowledge on those and figure out how to spend my time. But the idea of recording a whole book and then finding out that I just ruined a possibility of it being bought would be stupid.
How would you find that out, though?
Because someone would hear me reading it and be like, we would have bought this.
That's my point. It's like you'll connect with the person that was like, if only I'd known about this some other way, mm-hmm. then I would have paid top dollar. But now it's all for naught, mm-hmm. and I have no interest in hearing any of your other words.
I have a dozen other things. Sir? Sir? Hello?
Damn it. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, maybe I should start looking into some wacky ways to get my...
Well, here we are. You know, we're talking now into a microphone, and people have the option to listen. So I guess it crosses my mind because... I'm published as an audiobook novelist now, and people seem to like it.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to like it. I don't know what I'm suggesting. I'm not saying that I've come up with a course of action for you. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be cool if people tend to be listening to books now either listening or looking at narratives, less so reading it themselves. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be cool to take that ball and run with it?
Skip the middle
and take all the experience that you now have listening mm-hmm. to how these things are voiced. Now you must have a pretty good idea of what you like and what you don't like.
I'm not very picky about how books are read. I know a lot of people, when they listen to audiobooks, they get annoyed by readers and delivery, but it doesn't bother me very often.
Would you voice it, or would you want to get like an actor who projects a certain kind of...
I can't imagine any author not wanting to voice it themselves.
Yeah.
I would, of course, want to do it myself.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you have to have a voice, and maybe you have to like doing it. I happen to have both, I think. Whereas I guess if you're an author who, you know... doesn't sound good when you read, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. Well, maybe you have no inclination to do it.
Maybe we should try taking one of your short stories that's, you know, either serialize it or maybe it's 5 to 10 minutes or something, pre-record it. We'll warn the audience that's about to happen. If they don't want to listen to it, they can skip ahead or they can enjoy it mm-hmm. and let us know that they've enjoyed it. I don't know. Keith, I don't know. I'm just casting a wide net tonight.
Mm-hmm.
604. 822-2487 604 UBCCITR. Give us a call. We'll put your ass on the radio. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm. I just made a noise. Sorry. There it is.
I didn't hear anything. Yes, folks, it's CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. That was the sound of a computer. Lots of interesting sound effects happening here. It's interesting how we've really hit our stride in in series 3 of the show.
Oh man.
That's the ball game. We'll see you next year, folks.
Hey. Seriously, you got to call us. This is your fault. Yeah, you. You know I'm talking about you. What else are you doing? What else is important in your life?
Yeah, give us a call and we'll blow you up.
Yeah.
We'll put your ass on the radio and then we'll blow your ass up if you want us to. Only with consent, of course.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Let us know optionally if you want to be blown up.
No blowing without consent.
If you want to be, we will blow you up. And that's an option that you have. In the meantime, while we wait for that call, Keith at 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR, give us a call. Should we talk about life?
Okay.
Oh, here we go. What do we got here? Yes, good evening.
Good evening. Yeah. Did I call the right thing?
That's right. Who's this?
This is Brad.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm all right. Just driving back to my other place to do a move by myself in my car that won't do it.
Cool. thanks for giving us a call. We do appreciate it. You know, it's always the first call is the most challenging. It's the most pleading experience for us. But, of course, I think now you've helped us to get the ball rolling, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. I've only just tuned in, like, on the dial literally seconds ago, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, cool. No, we're going to figure it out as we go. And if you are just tuning in, I'm always curious to know. I feel like one of the main causes for people to call in is, first of all, they're driving, which I can hear that you're doing. And they've got their presets.
I'm hands-free.
Say that again?
I'm hands-free on the driving.
Nice, good. Good, I'm glad to hear that. We don't want to be liable for you driving into a ditch, that's for certain. But oftentimes people have their presets, they tire of their presets, and they incessantly press the scan button, and then we try to talk to those people. But were you pressing the scan button or turning the dial manually?
I already had you on a preset.
Oh.
And I'm only using my radio because today my data plan changed a little bit and I haven't put music on my phone in a while.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting. So it's a fallback position.
That's our niche demographic.
It really is. It seems like the niche demographic for radio itself, but certainly CITR, is, in the event of an earthquake or or lack of a mobile plan.
Yeah, losing two family members in one day.
Now, although Keith, he has indicated that this was on his presets. So I'm curious, does that mean that you've been a listener historically to CITR? Why on earth was this a preset?
Well, I don't know. Whatever town I'm in, I usually scan through and find the talk.
Okay, cool.
Preset them. And the reason for that is on the very off chance, occasionally when you're on a road trip, and you still catch a cool, like, old horror serial.
Right.
Like, some really some golden oldie, like stand-up or something.
Okay, cool.
Totally, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, that's interesting because actually Keith is my co-host here, and he's a writer. And we were just discussing the merits of voicing one's own audiobook. Of course, the conventional route for an author is to write their work, get published, and at some point it becomes a work of audiobook fiction. But I was speculating, maybe that could be part of the show, is Keith could voice one of his own narratives. And it's sounding like you might be somebody who, you know, depending on whether or not the story engaged you, you might fit within that demographic. Somebody who wants to hear talk, whether it's comedy or a radio play or something other than commercial music.
Doing is like, I usually listen to like, well, I mean, I'm a metalhead, but when I don't feel like listening to music, I'll listen to like comedy or like comedians, various podcasts or like talk shows that I like.
Nice.
Right.
And have you in the past been a caller to radio stations?
Yeah, only for like obscure music requests.
Oh, okay. Obscure metal requests?
Yeah, yeah. I was working at Edmonton for a few years and there was a Metal Monday there.
Oh, nice.
But it was like a college radio thing, so they would play anything you want, whether they like CanCon Law or anything like that.
Yeah, right. And there's no rigmarole with being caller number 9 or having to talk to the producer first. We literally, the phone is ringing and you are on the air.
Oh, far out.
Keith's a bit of a metalhead. I don't know if he's on your level, but maybe you guys can talk about metal.
Do you like the new Metallica album?
Oh man, there's a whole like scale and spectrum on how you even judge a Metallica album. Like, no is the answer. But like, is it better than the last like 4 combined? Yeah, but that doesn't like say a lot.
Did both of you guys see that documentary that came out about 12 years ago about them going through counseling together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of monster one.
Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
It's, I don't know, it's just interesting because you want to, before knowing all of that, like, I was in middle school and I skipped class to buy St. Anger and I was so pissed about it. Upset. I'm trying not to cuss.
That's okay, man.
I don't know. I always say like I was in the Navy for like 6 years and now I'm a tattooer, so I have a really hard time not cussing all the time.
Dude, I am the single worst cusser in the history of mankind.
It's been an interesting exercise for Keith to actually do this show because we actually have been quite reverential of the fact that we're not supposed to be cussing.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's not commercial radio, so it's a little bit more lax.
Okay. Anyway, so that was side tangent. But as a kid, I was so upset because, like, I always thought that, like, Dave Mustaine's the artist, and he's the cool one, and he's the one who actually wants to, like, stay in, not paint himself into a corner and explore and be, like, a cool artsy dude. And these guys are, like, whiny assholes. And then you watch it, and it's like, oh, wait, they all are.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was disappointing.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to get to know your heroes too well, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the reaction I had to it. It was an interesting documentary, but I never really looked at them the same way again.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, at that point, like lifelong metalheads, we were already like so let down by both of them several times, but still hopeful for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
that, you mean. So strange.
That makes me think about my experience with that. As I remember watching a documentary about Conan O'Brien after his failed attempt to host The Tonight Show. He wasn't allowed to be on TV for a year before he started a show on TBS.
Yeah, that documentary is great, Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it, but I definitely, like, you can see moments where you're like, ah, he's a bit of a dick to people. Like, sometimes if it's in the service of comedy, you're like, okay. But just like at times, just the way he behaved, I'm like, I wouldn't like knowing him as a person. It just kind of somewhat affected my perspective on him. Maybe that was just me.
I suppose. Honestly, I didn't. I'm like really into comedy now, but at the time I wasn't. That was really engaging to me because I didn't know that.
I did enjoy the documentary overall. I think it was just a couple moments. Maybe I was being sensitive. Mm-hmm. Brad, thank you so much for calling. Before you leave, would you like us to blow you up?
Yeah, sure. I'm a tattooer, so can I just, like, yell my Instagram?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, sure. It's just @brad.lee.charles, dots in between all of them, and yeah, I work in town here.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
cheers.
Brad.
That's how it works, folks. If you give us a call at 604-822-CITR, 604-822-2487, we'll put your ass on the radio, and with your consent, we'll blow you up. And that's something I didn't consider. Folks, if you have an Instagram or some sort of social media platform that you want to share, maybe that will incentivize people, Keith. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was Brad. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad that Brad called. Now, so We're going to start keeping track of this. Brad was flipping through the dial while he drove on his radio because his data plan was, for the moment, unavailable or something.
Hadn't put music on his phone.
Yeah, there was some sort of temporary technological limitation that caused him to call. So I think that's our target demographic is people who are in extenuating circumstances. I mean, as I say, an earthquake, I don't want, you know, knock on wood, I don't want there to be an earthquake. But man, our listenership can you imagine what that would do?
Skyrocket.
Especially if people were like, what's going on? Quick, what's going on? And they're listening to all this commercial radio and we're like, we'll tell you what's going on. We're trapped in the basement.
Yeah.
Come and save us, please.
So I would fear that they would skip right to ham radio. Because it's arguably cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should get on that too. Maybe we should simulcast.
Do you own a radio, Keith?
What's a radio?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got some radio.
It would be good to have, in the event of an emergency, it'd be good to have one of those wind-up radios.
Yeah.
Analog radios.
Yeah, because you can just get your hamster to charge it.
Yeah, yeah. But then, you've got to feed the hamster.
Oh, man, this has got way more complicated.
Yeah. And in order to feed the hamster, you need to go get hamster food, right? And that probably the pet store would be closed.
Can't hamsters eat bugs and stuff?
Got to get the bugs.
Oh, man, got to get the bugs.
Folks, you saw how it's done. Brad just did it. That's how we do it here on Now We're Talking. It's, you know, in the previous series, Keith and I largely would speak to each other. That's what Now We're Talking meant, Keith and I. Now We're Talking moving forward means you as well. So take a page out of Brad's book. And another thing, of course, I realized, Keith, is that Brad had just tuned in when he got that cue to call. So I think there is the element of having to just be really repetitive. One thing we might want to do is maybe I can record something for the next week's episode. And at all points in time during the whole episode, it'll just be playing underneath like, give us a call at 6-1-1. Like constantly, almost like a ticker.
Yeah.
Like on like headline news or something, the equivalent of a ticker that's always playing underneath our conversation because somebody might tune in right now and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They never knew.
Well, I guess we could also just commit to it being like a hold, like when you call TELUS or something and it's just music and the same message over and over again. And then we don't even have to talk. We can just sit here and people can listen to our hold message.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Or we could just not come in here. And then the show ends. That's basically what we're talking about today, folks, is this is how to end a show. You get renewed. You can do whatever you want for 10 episodes. And you just sit there waiting for people to call.
Folks, you can call and discuss whatever's on your mind. You know, there's a great deal of levity in the show. But maybe you want to explore brevity. I don't know. It's like maybe you want to explore something else entirely. I don't know.
Brevity.
Brevity.
Mm-hmm.
Brevity means concise, right?
It does.
Thank you. For me, it's levity versus brevity. I've got to stop and do a head check before using those words, much in the same way I need to do that with the words appraisal. No, appraise and apprise.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any words like that?
Like words that I get
confused. Like two words that you need to briefly make sure you use the correct one.
Oh.
I'm like appraise, like at an auction. A prize, assess the situation.
I get Bruce Willis and Billy Joel mixed up in my head. Is that the same thing?
Because of their names or because
no,
of...
No, because the way they feel.
Yeah. They do kind of feel similar, don't they?
That's not a joke. That's like a real thing.
Huh. That's an interesting point. And does that speak to when you were introduced to them in the 80s? Or does it carry on to this day?
It's to this day, yeah. They both occupy the same emotional space in my head.
Yeah. Billy Joel in Die Hard, eh?
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis just playing that piano, man.
Yeah, he's the piano man. Yeah, they just feel the same. It's fine.
Of course.
I'm not crazy.
Bruce Willis is a musician, and everybody knows that.
Well, that's Bruno. So you got to make the differentiation.
Did he just release the one album?
I don't know.
Why don't we check out some
of his
music?
Is there anyone out there in the world who's a Bruno expert?
Yeah. It's interesting, actors who've released the one album, eh?
It means they failed.
Yeah.
It means nobody wanted it.
Bruno, so was that kind of like a Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines thing where he had an alter ego?
Yeah, I don't think it was that drastic, but it was just his cool sounding stage name.
Do you want to hear a portion of him singing the song Respect Yourself?
I don't, but you should go ahead and play it anyway.
Sure. Here it is, folks.
arms, baby. Rock me in your arms, baby. Rock me in your arms, baby.
Rock me, little girl.
Rock me in your arms, baby.
Put your arms around me.
Rock me in your arms, baby.
Rock me, little girl. Rock me, baby, yeah.
Baby.
Sounds good to me.
What was that?
Well, I've just Googled Bruce Willis Bruno. I've found something called Respect Yourself Bruce Willis, but maybe it's a scene in a movie or something. He's definitely not singing yet.
It sounds like Bruno to me.
Maybe he's singing here. There he is.
Yep.
Place is dead, Bruno. I'm out of here.
Well, I guess another good example of where pre-production would assist the show. Probably not a thread we need to pull on too hard. 604-822-2487. Give us a call. We've embarked on our third series of the show. And give us a call and join us. I really wish there was a ticker that just played so we could continue on with the show.
Mm-hmm.
But people were still invited to call.
Yeah, it's a conundrum.
The limitations of the medium, eh?
Yeah. And if we get into a big, long topic, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody who skips in may just...
And it's like the whole time we're having the conversation, somebody, we want them to call.
Yeah.
But how are they to know if they're just tuning in?
They don't.
They'd have no way of knowing.
But at the same time, it interrupts our conversation to constantly explain it, which we're committed to. And this episode is clearly committing to that.
I think that's the resolution, is to create an audio ticker.
Yeah, maybe. That might be annoying, especially in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it'd be super annoying.
All right, as long as we know. Listen, people.
But it could be like, give us a call to stop the ticker.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. People have to, they have to take that course of action to stop us from doing what we're doing.
So Jeff and I are trying a new thing. We're trying to encourage people to call. And we've had Brad. We're going to say his name over and over again to prove that he existed.
Sure.
And that was good. If we got another caller, that would be even better, because then we could say, hey, this is something to build off of.
Absolutely.
We just didn't get a random caller. We got two callers, maybe even got three callers.
Yeah.
We've never had three callers in 1 hour.
No.
You could be part of that.
Another thing we've never done is if we've never had two calls at the same time.
See, I thought we had. Remember that time you hung up on a bunch of people?
That's the closest we've come, is it?
This is the section of the show where I point out the times Jeff has hung up on people, and you can point out my flaws.
Perhaps it was something that could have happened, due to me mashing on the mixer, it was a lost opportunity.
I think it's actually possible, in all fairness, that time that you missed that person, and we just didn't get to them quick enough.
Because yeah.
People are, they want to get in and get out. Brevity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about brevity.
Yeah. No, now it's your turn. You say something horrible about my life choices, and then we'll be even for me ragging you on the radio for hanging up on people. Something really horrible.
Something I've been saving.
Yeah, that would, in a real conversation, would hurt me very badly.
Something that's completely disproportionate to the criticism that you just made of me, which
exactly.
In a scheme of things was slight.
Yeah.
And one could argue not even really a criticism.
And
like
it wasn't
a critique.
Wasn't even a slight.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, really give it to me, because in this context, I won't be able to react the way I would in real life. I'll have to take it. This is going to be good. Get ready, folks.
Well, it's not that I can't think of one right now. I'm just trying to think of which one I want to use.
I understand. Also, this is a feel free to call in and cut Jeff off type moment.
You're a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And you...
Oh, there's an and.
The reason you listen to audiobooks is because you never learned how to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I had promised you that I would never share that with anybody, much less on the radio.
Yep.
And I'm saying it now.
Mm-hmm. Illiteracy. That's the one you went with, huh?
That's right.
That's tough. That's a
tough
one.
That's tough because it totally undermines, I feel like it undermines your stated purpose in your life, which
my
is to
character.
Be an author. How can you be an author if you can't read?
Yeah, it makes me seem inauthentic. So all these things I've been talking about and all my philosophies on writing. And
you are an inauthentic author.
I am an inauthentic, illiterate moron.
Although, you know, and I'm thinking about this actually could be your thing. This could be your hook. This could be your
angle.
I'm
already feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be your angle.
Let's try it out. Say something to me.
Anything?
What?
So is that part of the
angle? Yeah, that's part of my angle.
Okay, cool.
What?
You're fleshing out the character.
Yeah, try give me something else.
So
So
Okay, what? So he's kind of a surly, curmudgeonly figure.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand so much that it makes me emote, but I can't control those emotions with any sort of intellect.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, it's that. That's my character.
Thank God. Thank God we've resumed sonic clarity here at CITR, so all of these things can be heard now
with
clarity.
I laid on it pretty good, too.
You did. Yeah. You did. All this stuff would have been maybe peaking and distorting just 2 weeks ago, going back to July, but now it is clear as a bell.
Yeah, I should have leaned away, to be fair. That was a bit much.
604-822-2487. Why not be like Brad?
Mm-hmm.
That's our suggestion to you tonight. Be like Brad. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on. What are we going to talk about? Maybe that's the concern people have. They don't understand what we're asking them. What will the nature of the conversation be? I'm saying give us a call. Let us know about your day. Let us know about somebody who broke your heart.
That's funny that you'd mention that.
Okay.
On the way in here today, I thought about that would be an interesting topic to go to with listeners.
Yeah, did somebody break your heart yesterday
first
or 10 years ago?
That's a great thing to get people to talk about.
Tell us whether it's true that the first cut is the deepest.
And more importantly, help us get to a point where we can have themes like that in the future and know that we'll have callers.
Yes.
Because nobody wants to sit here and listen to me and Jeff tell our stories about, well, maybe they do. Our stories of love are pretty good. Maybe not love. Maybe that's a bad example because we have great love stories. We have the best love stories. They're huge. But maybe some other topics we would need help with, like today when we have no topic. The topic is you have to help us.
Well, we could in the meantime, we could talk about our weight.
Okay.
Is that something we want to discuss?
And that's funny because we're waiting for a call.
Yeah. So this is the wait. This section of the show is called The Wait.
Okay. Let's do it.
I am tall. I don't think about how tall I am.
You're very tall.
I'm almost 6'4". That's tall. That's exceptionally tall. You are probably slightly above average height. You're 6'6".
I'm exactly 6 feet tall.
6 foot tall. And in my mind, that's average, but that's actually probably slightly above average for male height.
Mm-hmm.
If you're as tall as I am, you can put on a lot of weight and you can be a bit chubby. But there's a lot of places for that extra weight to go. You can kind of be covert about being overweight, especially this time of year if you're wearing layered clothing. Now, for me, I've been letting myself go for the past few months. But for me, it hasn't really been a concern. And I haven't been exercising. I don't have a scale. So I haven't known my weight. When I grew up, I've been 6'3.5" since I was 15 years old. Right around the time that you and I met was probably when I finished growing in terms of height. Coincidence? I don't know.
Well, it's a good thing, because if you were shorter, I wouldn't have noticed you.
Yeah, but I think when you met me, I was as tall as I am now.
Yeah.
And I weighed about 145 pounds.
Yeah.
I kind of settled. Then I got older, and I added some weight. For me, it was always one day I might weigh 200 pounds. Wouldn't that be great? Recently, I've kind of let myself go, and I thought that I was climbing up to maybe 210, 220, and I've actually crept closer to 240. I'm now down like 235, but like 240. That sounds like a lot. We were talking about your history with weight, because when you were an athlete, as an adolescent, you were exercising pretty intensely pretty much every day by playing sports, and playing sports where you run around constantly.
Yeah.
So you were in... sort of your body mass index was probably low.
I was a sexy bitch.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure out the scientific term for it.
Yeah, that's the one.
And then in your early 20s, when you began your inauthentic author's journey, that's when you put on a lot of weight.
The fraudulent years.
And you've kind of just been like tapering down ever since from that. But anyway, the point is I weigh about 30 pounds more than you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel as chunky as you were when you were 235, and it's because of this height differential. When we talked about this before the show, I was endlessly fascinated with it. I don't know that it's objectively interesting, but here's to height.
Well, it is interesting in the sense that we all have a perceived body image. For example, as we were talking about this earlier, you said something about, hey, when you were that way, you were a fat guy. And I went, hey, I don't think I was a fat guy, because it's just the way your brain works, the way you justify things, right? So I could have been... totally a fat guy. But in my mind, I was just like, well, whatever. I've let myself go a bit and eventually I won't be. And I'm an athlete. In my head, I'm always an athlete.
No. You were I don't remember the exact timeline, but there was a period, what I refer to as the inarguable period of Keith being a fat guy.
Oh, that's really appropriate that that's what you've always called that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think for the most part, there's been a much more protracted length of time where it's been ambiguous.
Yeah.
It's more like you've been a guy who slightly let himself go or what have you. But there is a period of time where you were probably, I don't know, 40 pounds overweight at 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where just everything kind of puffs up.
Yeah, I see it a bit differently. I see a straight line of sexy bitch.
Right.
And then there's like a little blip.
Right.
Where it's like the more of me to love section.
Right.
Possibly even sexier.
Wow.
Bitch.
Huh.
So again.
Well, it's interesting because for me right now, this past week I've been modifying my diet with the goal just to lose a little bit of weight. But I'm actually kind of mourning the idea of losing this weight because, as I say, the part of me that weighed 145 pounds
when I
was like, it was so mortifying emotionally for me to be so slight because it wasn't really possible for me to be attractive to girls, I felt like, at the time. Now there's a part of me that's just like,
here come the ladies.
Just like, why not be two of you, you know, two young Jeffies and go for 290?
Yeah, it's funny. I got fat because
it's a great time in my life, by the way, right now to experiment with this because I've got nothing going on, right?
Yeah.
It's like there might be things that would prevent somebody from doing that under other circumstances. Now's a good time for me to do it, so I'm torn.
Mm-hmm.
Much like most of my clothes are torn.
Because you're swollen.
It's just really, it's kind of like when you put the frog into the boiling water. It happens slowly and gradually.
What are you doing to your frogs?
Well, they're dead now.
Good Lord.
They're all dead because I was trying to understand whether that was an actual science experiment or just a metaphor. And they're literally all dead now, all the frogs.
I wonder if murdering animals is a scientific experiment or not. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah, well, frogs. Yeah, frogs anyway. Well, to my mind, frogs now represent the alt-right because of that meme or what have you. So
oh,
I think it's fine.
Yeah. That's funny. That guy has like a whole campaign to try to like take back that frog meme.
Because the guy that drew it?
Yeah, because it wasn't racist at all when he created it. And it has become...
Racists ruin everything, man.
I know. Racists aren't
There's
cool.
So many things that they ruin.
Not
and that's
cool,
just,
racists.
This is another example of something that they've ruined.
Yeah, just a nice little cartoon.
Oy vey. 604-822-2487. Brad gave us a call, and he promoted his Instagram, which I was okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Although I haven't looked it up. I haven't looked it up.
And if you don't have anything to promote, promote yourself.
Or promote us.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fine. Just say nice things to us. Tell us that we're not fat. Tell us we've never been fat.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
If you can confirm that I'm a sexy bitch, get on the phone.
Yeah.
Because the listeners out there think that maybe I'm joking.
I think what we should do is we should consider moving forward in series three here. We should consider enticing people to come on down to the show. Come on down. We broadcast from UBC at the Student Union Building at the Nest.
And we're thinking that'll work better.
Well, maybe there's a glass partition where you can actually watch the show occur from the sub.
And we are very animated.
And I'm thinking if you and I wore...
Cummerbunds,
but low ride the cummerbunds.
How did I know that that's what you were going to say?
Well, I wasn't. I was just going with it.
Okay, cool.
But we got to low ride the cummerbunds. Or actually, here's what we'll do. We'll wear like a halter top or tank top thing way too tight.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
White.
Belly shirts.
White. And the belly protrudes. Mm-hmm. Cover it with the cummerbun.
Okay.
Cummerbun. And the reveal will be pulling down the cummerbun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll splash each other with water. It'll be kind of like a wet t-shirt contest, but just with our bellies.
But like way hotter than a normal wet t-shirt contest.
Or much colder, depending on your perspective.
And we won't be drunk, so it'll also be more wholesome.
The water should be lukewarm, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That got worked out quick.
Yeah. So that's an option.
So now call us. Give us a call because we'll work things out. That's how quickly Jeff and I can solve your problems.
Yes. Give us a call and we will endeavor to solve your problems. You know what? I'm going to say it with more confidence. Forget this endeavor.
How about conviction?
I, along with Keith, will solve your problem if you call us, but only if you call us in the next 5 minutes. If you delay, the chances of us solving your problem or your problems is reduced incrementally.
And in fact, your problem will remain unsolved inevitably.
That's right. Inevitably, invariably, indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I've actually got a lot of experience solving problems.
That's true. I mean,
a lot.
I see, this is the thing, is people don't realize the missed opportunity here. It's because I think it actually would be good for people to call and get your take.
Yeah. I have a blog, Ask Keith Anything.
I think that would be compelling. If Ask Keith Anything was people calling, you offering advice, me kind of guiding the conversation a little bit, but basically you
Yeah, yeah, there you go. If you're a fan of Ask Keith Anything, pick up the phone and we'll do a live one right now. I'll solve your problems. I'll make your world a better place. I'll earn you money.
Wow.
Yeah. I can do it. And I also
can you earn me some money?
I can't do that.
Oh. What if I call?
You're too fat.
What if I called in?
If you called in?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what your problem was, because I know you. Uh-huh. There has to be, what's the word I'm looking for here? Penis? No, that's not
Whoa.
It. That's not the word.
You always use that word in place of other words.
Yeah, I know. It's because of the penis in me. Yeah.
Show's gone in an interesting direction.
Yeah, I just got tired of not saying penis.
Keith, we got a call here.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Oh, there it is.
Keith?
Hello?
Hey, it's Jake.
Oh, hey, man.
I heard you could make me switch.
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a pyramid scheme, so.
How much?
It depends on how much work you put in.
How much work do you have to put in?
You have to call all of your friends and get them to give you money, mm-hmm. and then you give me money.
Okay.
And then,
when do we start?
We can start whenever you want.
How about after the show?
Yeah, that's fine.
How much?
Well, you'll owe me $900.
$900?
Yeah.
Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay. So how much can I make?
Well, if it depends on how many people you sign up.
10?
Yeah, okay. If you sign up 10 people.
All right, hold on. I just got 11.
You got 11?
Yeah, they're good. Good to go.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's other people who want to make money over here.
This is really turning out well.
Yeah. So I'll see you at the show.
Okay.
Of cash?
Sure.
Canadian?
Yeah, 900.
Traveler's checks?
Yeah. Traveler's checks?
Countersigned?
Great. Thanks, Keith. Yeah. That's good.
So that's how it's done.
Thank God, man. Cause I definitely need a source of income for sure.
Oh, I didn't mean that. That was a lie.
Oh,
I meant that's how a call works.
Keith, what is going on out there?
Oh, let me take a look. There's more people in the waiting room than normal. What is that called? Is that the waiting room? That's not right. It's not the green room.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that the glass wall is covered in newspapers,
yeah,
then I would just say it's like a lobby area.
Do they do surgeries in here?
But now I feel like it's the surgery room. I feel like that's where they put the newspaper up on the glass and do sort of illegal surgeries.
Because there's a lot of squirting.
Squirting, yeah.
When you do illegal surgeries.
Yeah, well, apparently.
Yeah.
Folks, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Jeff Bryant alongside Keith Kennedy. And this is Now We're Talking. This is episode 21, series 3. You're invited to call 604-822-2487. We've got some excellent programming coming up this evening on CITR, as we always do. And we would love for you to give us a call or just keep on enjoying the fun times. Not a lot of music in this program.
No, not at all.
A lot of the other shows do have music, including the show that will follow this, which is called More Than Human. Mm-hmm. That's coming up in just about five to 8 minutes' time.
We're a talk show.
We occasionally play clips of Bruce Willis
mm-hmm.
Singing or not singing.
Yeah.
But he rest assured, if we play a clip, we say that Bruce Willis is going to be singing, and he's not. Rest assured that he's still in the clip. I'm still seeing him in the clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think we're losing our audience right now? I think it's possible that we've alienated the people who listen.
I would like to think that Brad, the man who called earlier, has been listening this whole time.
Yeah.
And is thinking, my God, if I'd known.
Uh-huh. We should let Brad talk for longer.
I think that actually is our demographic of callers, is people who haven't listened to the show long enough
mm-hmm.
to sort of doubt the legitimacy of the show in their own minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've done it. We're almost to the end. We've committed completely.
Yeah.
To a call-in show. We tried sort of at the end of last season, but we talked about some things. We told some stories. Tonight, no.
No.
Tonight it's about calling in.
I think it was great that Brad did call. I think that was really a highlight for me.
It's encouraging.
I was surprised that I didn't even have to tell him to turn down the radio.
He's an experienced caller.
Yeah, and that's why
I wanted to.
This guy's called before. He's called somebody on the radio before.
Yeah. Not to alienate those out there who are afraid that they're going to mess up if they call.
No.
Call anyway. We'll advise you. We'll say, hey, turn down your radio, and we won't even call you a jerk. At least Jeff won't. I might.
Yeah, Keith makes no promises in that regard.
Yeah. I will let loose on this radio. I will give you a piece of my mind.
Was that true what you were saying before on the phone about making people money? Is that for real?
No.
No. It's not for real.
Here's a call. Hello?
Hey,
oh, hey. I thought it was a real call.
No. Well, I mean, I'm calling.
Okay.
I'm not going to bring that $900, man.
Oh, did you hear me say that it wasn't real?
Yeah.
No, it's real.
Oh, it is real.
Yeah, man. I was just kidding. I'm facetious.
Can I bring 500?
Yeah, I guess so.
Will that reduce my potential for earnings?
It won't reduce my potential for earnings, so there's that.
Okay. Trebuchets?
Did you say trebuchet?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just want to throw it over the wall at me, that'll be fine. Okay. Just sling it. Use the momentum of the device itself to sling with centrifugal force. Or is it centripetal force?
Could you spell that?
Centripetal?
Please.
No.
Thanks. Okay, I just Googled it.
Centripetal. I bet I could spell it.
Google says that's not a word.
It's probably really simple to spell that.
That's not a word.
Really?
Just Googled it. Oh, I spelled it wrong, though. Okay, I got to go.
Okay, great. Well, that was a...
I think that's three calls on our call-in show.
You know, it's interesting that we've never actually elected to pursue that convention of one of us calling the show.
Oh, yeah. I've never called the show.
Yeah, you never called the show. That's not true. Remember that time that you... Remember during... Was it Euro Cup?
Yeah.
You called.
Yeah. I was a couple of things. Even in our early shows, I called as a couple of different people. And I don't know if we... Maybe that weren't on our Now We're Talking. Maybe one of those was on the fill-in show. We tried a few characters, a few things.
Yeah, remember that time that you called from the radio? Not the radio.
The rodeo.
I love that we're doing a radio show. And even though, man. I said it very slowly.
Maybe we should do a rodeo show.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be better.
Whatever happened to that? Oh, yeah, the rodeo. Do you want to hear that? Let's check that out.
Okay, folks, I've got Keith on the line. Keith, where are you? What's going on?
I'm at the rodeo, man.
The rodeo?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, I parked at a church.
You parked at a church. Okay, go on.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know how rodeos work, but I think, like, it draws the kind of people that make you doubt whether or not you're smelling the animals or the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of sweatiness.
Yep.
And it's slightly overcast, which isn't helping. I feel like I'm inside of a turd.
So it sounds, I'm hearing some regret in your voice. Are you regretting
that? Oh, yeah. That's because it's full of regret, Jeff.
So you don't want to be there.
We're full of regret out here at the rodeo.
Well, so why are you there? Get out of there.
Well, it's my wife's fault.
Oh.
I let her choose what we do today, which is a mistake, Jeff.
Oh, God. So why did you get married then? Why did you get married in the first place?
Well, if we're talking about mistakes, that's another conversation, but that would have been my first. My first ever, in fact, and my biggest.
Wow, that's the time that we talked. I talked about your marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just cut me off?
I cut it off, yeah, because I thought, well, that was an interesting moment that conversation where it was meant to be about the rodeo, but it became about your marriage.
I made it comedic.
Yeah.
I brought it to a comedic place and made me into a sad character who was unhappy in his marriage.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's funny because I did the opposite on my blog where I love my wife, but she becomes a character who's very promiscuous.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I do. And just today on my blog, I talked about all of the various ways that she pleasures men that she meets.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
Well. Hi, honey.
And hi, honey's dad. didn't you say that your wife's dad listens to the show?
Yeah, I think he's going
to
listen. Hey, Bob.
But he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So he knows that that's not true.
No, not at all. Nancy's wonderful.
No.
She's wonderful. But I do use anything at my disposal for comedy.
As you should. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness you have, because imagine where.
No, I wouldn't mean tonight. Tonight we eased off on the entertainment pedal.
You made an exception in tonight's case. That's something we appreciate.
Oh,
Keith,
boy.
we've got about a minute left, and I guess do we want to summarize.
I got a little summary.
Yeah,
you know
please.
What I didn't do this week? I didn't talk to all of my friends. I didn't talk to all of my family members. I didn't say, hey guys, why don't you call in? Because we do have listeners. We have people who we know, who love us, who listen to our show. And we have some people we don't know who listen to our show. But I didn't reach out. I thought, hey, we'll commit to the show. We'll commit to this style. We'll commit to the call-in. And it's just going to happen. And now I'm thinking next week, I'm going to have to talk to all of my family and
plants.
All of my friends.
Yeah, we're going to need some plants for sure.
Yeah.
And when I say plants, I mean plants as in callers that we know.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, we got to get some
foliage in here.
Foliage. Foliage and foliage.
We should get some aluminum foil.
That's the two words that I get mixed up.
We'll kind of, there you
go. Except for foliage isn't a word.
And that's full circle. Folks, thanks for listening to Now We're Talking. I'm Jeff Bryant along with Keith Kenny.
Bye.
We'll see you next week.